So I'm not going to lie. I'm really kind of nervous for this interview. Tyler is somebody I've looked up to for a very long time. And kind of waiting on him to join the call now. But I got to be real. The nervousness is real at this point. So
you're listening to the Every Plant Story podcast, where we collect, share, and discover the stories, lessons, and passions behind the people who are always growing more. You're listening to the Every Plant Story podcast, and here is your host, Shane.
Wow, I gotta say, I am so honored to have today's guest, Tyler Thrasher, on the podcast. I don't even want to give any extra time at the beginning of this podcast, so we'll jump straight into the interview right now. And with me today, I have the amazing Tyler Thrasher. I was telling you before this that I've been super, super nervous. I do have to say I love your Instagram bio. Not only the artist, scientist, botanist, that side of things, but when you just add in there the creator of crystallized dead shit. And you can curse on this podcast. I promise that's okay. I don't even think that fully encapsulates you, but welcome back to the podcast. We're so happy to have you.
Hell yeah. Thanks, Shane. I feel like a lot has happened since the last... When was the last episode we did?
See, I told you. I did my research ahead of time. The last one we did was early February of 2021, which somehow feels
holy
like...
Holy shit.
Right? It somehow feels like 9.5 years ago. I don't even know how that's possible. But I know that you've had your kid growing up, and you've had so many cool things going on in your life. Fill us in on a little bit of what's been new with you.
Yeah. Well, the last time we talked, there were a few things that weren't happening. I have somehow found myself in the scientific plushie business. So I'm making a bunch of scientific plushies, which has become this whole other side venture for me, as well as making glow-in-the-dark plants. And making glow-in-the-dark plants, and I've hired a whole team to help me make these plants to bring into people's homes. And we've done all kinds of crazy installations and a subscription box, and we go foraging for some of these plants to dip in the world's brightest glowing mineral powder.
That's okay. So I'm so glad you started with glow-in-the-dark plants, because in my notes I'm just like glow-in-the-dark plants ? Like in general, but also where did this start? Was this like a childhood thing? Like, you know, did you have the stars on the ceiling, mm-hmm. or something like that? Was glow-in-the-dark always something you were interested in? Where did that idea originate?
So glow-in-the-dark was definitely not something I've always been interested in. It does seem to have encapsulated and consumed, like, a lot of my creative endeavors lately, just because it's so much fun. But it was one of those things that it just kind of, like, spur of the moment. I had the right materials around me, and it just kind of happened. I got to be on Netflix for a docuseries called The Future Of, and I was approached to do the episode on houseplants, the future of houseplants. And they said, we want you to go full sci-fi, like science fiction meets plants. You know, give us this crazy mad science world you can think of. And they were like, also, do you think like bioluminescent plants could ever be possible? And I was like, well, I know there's people who've tried and with very little success. And they were like, man, it'd be so cool if we could have like a bioluminescent plant to have on the show. I was like, well, that would be cool. That'd be the coolest thing ever. Too bad that won't happen. And as I said that, I looked down and I had this jar of phosphorescent mineral powder, bright glowing blue mineral powder. And I had some bleached plants that I had used for an installation earlier that year. And I was just like, hang on a minute, while I was on the phone with this guy. And I take the plant, I dip it in the mineral powder. I'm like, I'll call you back. And I run outside, hold it up to the sun, take it in a dark room. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, I'm holding a glowing plant. And I shared it online. just like, I like to share a lot of my ideas, and it blew up. Like, it blew up. Everyone wanted them. And from that point on, it just became this whole side venture for me. Just one of those like fun, amazing accidents that just kind of happens, you know?
That's fantastic. So what you have described a little bit in your newest episode that I was able to watch on Instagram. I love that you do them on Instagram Live too. It's such a way for people to plug into, even if you're not, you know, a podcast person. It's like the best of both worlds. It's both a podcast on a podcast platform and it's an Instagram Live at the same time. But you were, you know, you were talking about how much like that team has expanded and like all that kind of stuff. Tell me about the success from what seems to be just a random idea. I love the fact that you stay curious. You talk a lot about that, but how much has it grown in the last, you know, year or two?
I mean, it's grown a lot. And I say stay curious for that reason. I think we call it Moonbeam Flora. You know, when you stay receptive to, you know, exciting ideas or just the world in general, something as simple as like two ingredients you have sitting in your studio or house can make a very successful creative business. And when we first started, it was just me. Like, this idea came out as me and my personal assistant at the time. And I looked at her and I was like, there are like hundreds of people that want these. So we made them. We made some prototypes. Wasn't super thrilled with the prototypes, but I needed something to like launch this off. Once we did that, the orders just kept coming in and coming in. And I was like, I need to hire someone else. So I hired my best friend who was working at this like really horrible, like just warehouse job. He's like one of the best dudes in the world. And I was like, hey man, do you want to like take a leap of faith with me?
I need some help. I'm calling in the favor.
Yeah, and he did. He quit his job, and he came to help me. And we, like, started in the trenches. And he helped me with all these ideas and, like, really showed up. And we pulled it up. And then, you know, there are challenges. But it kept growing and growing. And at one point, I looked at him and my other assistant. I looked at them both, and I said, what if we make a subscription box? And they're like, we can try it. And this was on top of all my crystallized stuff, everything else. We do the subscription box. And the first week, we get like 15 subscribers. I was like, oh, that's cool. Okay. Then it was like 30 subscribers. And I remember saying like, oh my gosh, this would be so crazy if we got 100 subscribers. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. We hit 100 subscribers. And it just kept growing. I was like, if we hit 500 subscribers or something like that, that would cover all my overhead. And so we hit 500 subscribers. And I was like, oh my God. And then we hit 1,000 subscribers. And it just kept going and going and going. Right now, we're at about 1,000. And we're doing stuff like making bouquets for people's weddings, installations, custom orders. And it's just growing. Just seemingly from this one, like, fun, simple idea.
That's crazy. This is on Netflix. How was that process? Did that take a lot of your time? Like, any feat? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I've never really participated in something like this. Like, I've done like stuff with like the local news and all that, and like recorded like talks, but nothing like that's on Netflix. And it was interesting because we did it in the middle of the pandemic. So everyone, like the whole crew showed up, but there were all these protocols and we had to take all these tests, and like there was all these like just, it was very rigorous. And we shot for like, I think 12 hours that day. And it wasn't too bad. Like, there wasn't a lot of work on my end. I just needed to make sure I had some cool stuff to show, on screen.
That's fantastic. And where do people find that? Is there like an episode name or something for people that are going to go rapidly try to search this up on Netflix right now?
It's called the docuseries is called The Future Of, and then my episode is, the episode on houseplants, which, I don't know. Apparently, I'm the cover image on it, which freaks me out, but, you know, that's pretty cool.
As long as you don't look at it, it's not nearly as scary. That's kind of how life goes. I have to say, though, kind of switching gears for a half second, I was listening to your most recent podcast, which I'm so glad you're back in. Like, I'm one of those people you talked about in that episode of being like, there were tons of people who were like, this is just a really honest guy being like, hey, today really sucked, but yesterday was really good, but tomorrow is unknown. And, you know, I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. And it just, in part of it, you talked about like needing rest and that nature shows us that we need that rest. You want to elaborate on that a little bit more? Because personally, that hit home to me as somebody who, I'm assuming like you, is super hard to slow down, especially when you're excited about what you do, you know? But tell me a little bit more about what made you bring up that topic. It's all spur of the moment, of course, for you, but needing rest.
No, it's a very important. I think, I mean, yeah, like you said, I think something that we both understand from running a business is like, it's a lot harder for people who run a business to prioritize rest. I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like rest is a privilege, you know, and if you do take rest, everything will fall apart. I didn't go to school to learn how to run a business or a small business. And so I have all these anxieties like, oh my God, if I slow down or I take a break or step back, the whole thing will implode. And lately I've been learning how to rest because I look at my team that I have now and I'm like, oh, wow, they got this shit nailed down. Like they run it like a fucking, like a well-oiled machine. So I'm thankful every day for my awesome team. And they encourage me to rest. Now I say rest is important because I literally think every single facet of nature takes a damn break. I think when like primordial Earth was forming, I don't think Earth had plans to have like one facet of nature be this like self-destructive, you know, productivity only species that like just hustled until we all like died from exhaustion and burning our lives away. We're not meant to do that. And it's weird that I feel like we've been, you know, coerced into that sort of mentality of not stopping and not resting, because the best parts of life, I think, come from after rest. When you're back up and running, you have a fresh, like, look at things. For even for artists, like, you got to take a break to get those new ideas. Even as a business owner or a parent, any facet of life requires rest. So I'm learning that. I learned that real hard when we had Nova and I did not rest. I was like still shipping stuff, working nonstop. And my system was like, also my system gave me the middle finger and was like, dude, this is not how this works. That's hard because you don't see that. You don't see the big players in the world and all the, you don't see them talking about rest. And the people you do see talking about rest are people like fucking like what, Oprah Winfrey or like these uber billionaires.
Yeah, it's easy for you on your yacht to be able to rest. Yes. 100%.
That's the image of rest. I've rented an island and it's like, oh, okay. You know, and so we don't have examples for like a normal person, like the average person. Rest is like, oh, I got my day off this month. Like we don't see it ritualized in a normal, approachable way. And I'm forcing myself to do that. You know, I'm going to say it plain and simple. I think a lot of people agree. We didn't choose to be here, but we are here. It's this crazy freak accident of consciousness. A part of that is I did not ask to be in like be laboring till the day I die. That's not what my system, my biology, none of that needs. We're just not adapted for it. So get your rest. Your body will beat your ass if you don't.
Oh, it'll make you. Yeah, especially that's a big thing. You know, we're in Central Florida and the heat in the greenhouse is tremendous and that kind of thing. And if you don't slow down, your body, speaking of nature, it'll make you slow down. It'll catch up to you real quick. But honestly, you're such a mentor in this respect. And I do think that being, like you said, small business owners, you know, it's one thing when you have the 40-hour-a-week job that you can clock out on Friday at 4 p.m., get the beers with the friends, get, you know what I mean, get into your Saturday, whatever else. When you feel like everything's on the line every moment, every day, it's a lot harder to unplug. And I'm sure You have a ton of that pressure too from social media. I know you've taken different breaks from that. I'm sure that's super healthy for you. Another part of, at least personally, especially with both of us working with plants and nature in some regards, there is nobody who's on and awake and alert and sees every status update every second of the day. Humanity has never had that push that we have right now.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if you've been dealing with this, because I there has been this pressure to like stay on social media and I don't know about you. I lately have been feeling like social media is just this big game. It's almost like a casino at this point. Are you running into those sort of feelings that it feels like a big scam we all got tricked into?
Yeah. And also, especially around like, at least for us, so a little bit of, like, if we're trying to describe a plant, it, like, there's so many rules. TikTok, it wants to have the same voice and the same face, you know, in every video. Otherwise, it gets demonetized. And if you don't post often enough, it is a game. It's a big circle game. And we are challenged a lot of times when we create content of like, well, if we really want to tell the full story of this plant, you know, every plant has a story to us here at Gabriella, like, then we need to put text on the video, but then that gets demonetized. So it's like, it's such a game just to be able to tell your story compared to how friendships used to be.
Yeah. And it changed. Like, I remember pre-pandemic, I was like, oh, it's so easy to share stuff. And then, yeah, TikTok was like, oh, we found the quickest way to get people hooked. And that's all that matters, is how can we take the human brain and just put it on the meat hook, right? And just feed it through the slaughterhouse, is what it feels like. And if you don't make a good enough meat hook to get people latched, then you don't get used. And it's hard. It feels weird, like, trying to share your ideas or your business, knowing that I feel like, in my opinion, social media is one of the worst possible things, one of the worst experiments in humanity outside of, like, actual really dangerous experiments. But in terms of social experiments, social media in my book is like probably one of our worst ideas.
And we've all, in whether it's, you know, any of the other weapons that were developed over time, you know, talking about human history, like, it always started with a decent idea. We needed to protect this, so we built this. Or, you know, the idea of being able to FaceTime my grandma while she's in another state. Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's super dope. You know, there's a lot of friends that, they graduate college. They move away a couple states. In the old days, quote unquote, you're what, early 30s?
I'm 30. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm 27. So I mean, it's not like we're old people by any means, but you know, before social media, you know, if that person moved away, what, you maybe had a telephone call or you wrote a letter, you know, there is an aspect of it when we first all bought the hook, line, and sinker of social media that was like, oh, stay connected to your friends, like, at least know what's going on. Oh, look, they got married. Like, you know, that's really cool. But then when it has to become, and I think what social media has become, and you've talked about this before, like, it's not only like fake, but it's performative. And for some people, performative is really natural. For other people, it's just fake. It requires too much of your psyche to keep up with.
Mm-hmm. I feel like part of me has to die sometimes when I go to make stuff and I'm like, I just wish the people that chose to follow me could see this. I don't want to put on a mask to get the algorithm to feel pleased to share it with the people that wanted to see it. And for them, it's a coin toss. It's just, the whole thing's really weird. And for, as an artist, it makes it weird. I know a lot of my artist colleagues and peers, they're all like, it's really weird for us because we don't want to make reels when we're making art. We want to make art. But if you want to sell your art nowadays, you got to make the reels. Now you got to like document the whole process. And then you're not even making great art because half your brain space is like, oh, are my angles right? And is the camera lined up? And it's weird. We're artists and small business owners, we're in a weird little area right now.
Yeah, and those social media platforms, the bigger you get, the, I don't want to say easier it is, because it's more daunting. You have more DMs, you have more things going on, a little, to a certain extent. But once you get to so many followers, who cares how many, you know, it's kind of like the yacht. Like, well, it's pretty easy to rest on a yacht, you know, once you've reached, you know, whatever the crazy level is, it does, I don't want to say it gets easier, but it especially gets easier if you have somebody you're paying to do it. But when you as a business owner have to do it yourself, it's totally different. The other thing you talk about a lot in your podcast, and I think it's what's made, which is the whole point of having you on today, is like, I love this podcast so much. I am so glad to see it coming back. I cannot even express to you, but you also talk a lot about mental health. And in that first kind of episode back, quote unquote, you talked about how there were times where, you didn't feel capable. And honestly, there was one point where I was kind of tearing up when you were talking about just like the narratives in your head will keep you from owning your life. Can you tell us a little bit about, for those who are, you can go listen to the actual thing on the podcast, you know, of course do, but how much have you learned in that? Because again, you're a huge role model for me in that area of those gremlins, those people in your minds, telling you you're not good enough.
Yeah, I've learned a lot. I'll tell you what. I've been in therapy nonstop for like the last 4 years. About 2.5 of those years we've dedicated to EMDR, which has been amazing for my like mental health and like recovery. And it's a lot of, for me, addressing narratives around shame and self-worth. And what's really sad and tragic about shame and self-worth is we don't naturally pick those. You're not going to find a kid, I don't think, that will just come out into the world saying, I'm worthless, I don't deserve love, I don't deserve good things. You will not find a young mind who thinks that unless they are told that or shown that. And so when we see this in grown-ups, the shame and self-worth, it's tragic because somewhere inside of them is a kid that was not shown they deserve these things. And that sticks. And we find ways to warp it and it becomes insidious. I've been working on untangling that and finding where those threads lead, literally like to the age and in some instances to the exact moment where me and my therapist would sit there and go, okay, so you don't think you like one of mine is like, my wife compliments me. I'm like, and she's like, you gotta be able to hear good things. I'm like, okay, whatever. My therapist and I've been working through like, why can't I handle a compliment from the closest people to me? Like my wife, why do I cringe when she compliments me? And we found the source and the exact age. And once I started going through that, I was like, I need to dedicate more time to this because it's very, very like corrosive. It's everywhere. And last couple of years, I took a break from the podcast because I was like, I gotta do this work. I don't want to be 40. No shame on anyone at any age doing any sort of work. But at where I was and what I was realizing, I have no excuse. I know that there's a problem. I know it's getting in the way of my life. I would be foolish to not tackle it now and then say when I'm 40, why am I still dealing with these issues when I have the resources? You know, I'm lucky enough to have the money and the resources to get therapy. And I found an amazing Black therapist. She's amazing, fits every one of my criteria. And I was like, I would be stupid to squander this. And so I did. I just put everything in it and have been prioritizing my mental health and those narratives around like self-worth because it gets in the way. And good things come in your life. And if you don't think you deserve them, you will find a way to sabotage them. And that sucks because after so many of those, you'll ask yourself, like, why is nothing good in my life? Or why does everyone leave me? Or why don't I have close friends? And self-awareness is a biatch. Like, self-awareness hurts. And sometimes you got to look at yourself and go, oh, I did have these things. Some of them are still here, but I have to stop getting in the way. I have to believe that I deserve these and I have to protect them and look after them. Which, if you got self-worth, poor self-worth narratives and, you know, internalized shame, you will find a way to make that prophecy true, I think.
No, 100%. And honestly, I got kind of chills while you were saying that because I've never been this honest on a podcast, but you're going to be the guest to definitely make me do this. But I went through trauma when I was young. I won't get into what it was, but you know, there was definitely some things in my life and I've felt those voices creeping up, and it really came to a head about 2 years ago when we moved. What we were doing in our packing operations. This is right around the same time we last spoke to you. I had just moved into like an actual office. It had a gorgeous backdrop and, you know, it was an actual office with an actual desk and all the, you know, all this other stuff and all the imposter syndromes of like, these people saw you lead this company 6 months ago and you never had a fancy office. And, you know, and it wasn't until, honestly, as you were saying that, I still got goosebumps on my skin right now, that like I started to realize, not necessarily, I haven't done as much self-work as you have. I need to do more of it. But in the moments where an employee is crying in that office and it's a safe space to be the person to encourage them and say, hey, that's not what's going on here. You know what I mean? Like, you're an amazing person. Here's everything I believe about you. It was only after like being able to make an impact with those things, you know, I didn't feel worthy of, where it finally started to make like, oh, why was I so worried about this before? And there was a bigger plan. You know what I mean? There was a bigger plan for why I had that. You speak about your team. What have you had to learn in leadership leading that team? Have there been any challenges in self-growth like in that area? Because that's something, I mean, I can send you my book recommendation list. I'm an audiobook guy. I can't, that's why I love the podcast. I can't read worth anything. I read for 8 minutes and I'm like, all right, my legs are restless. I need to be moving or doing, watering a plant. Yeah. But what has it been like to go from somebody who was a solopreneur, you know, just doing your own shit, to actually having to lead a team that does the stuff that you once loved to do?
Yeah. I will say I learned a lot, and I will give massive kudos to my first employee and assistant, Rachel, who helped me through a lot. You know, she saw me take on way too much, trying to keep up with stuff during the pandemic. You know, my first assistant, she was around when I was like supporting a lot of people and family and friends during the pandemic. Things I chose to take on because my art was doing well, but that meant I took on a lot, and I was drowning. And she stuck around and she helped me through that. And one thing I learned is that you, A, cannot expect your employees to operate the way you do. Because also the way you operate may not be healthy. And I had to learn that. Just because I was the boss, because I was the owner of this business and the one making the ideas, doesn't mean I knew how to run a business. I had to learn. And I had to learn that I needed to learn. And so I started listening to my employees and like really looking at it and going, you're doing too much. I learned to accept help. And as I brought on more employees, the one other thing I realized is you do got to make a safe space. The one thing I've told my employees is that work does not come first. Your lives come first. I am trying really hard to make an environment and culture that reflects what I believe in. The reasons I decided fuck working anywhere else. I want to be self-employed. Whatever benefits, whatever called me to do that needs to be extended to my employees. I cannot be the only one reaping the benefits of working for Thrasher Creative LLC. So I tell my employees, like, your lives come first. Like, we're not here to be stressed. If at any moment we are stressed, we're doing something wrong. This is not like what we're doing ultimately is meaningful to other humans. But to the grandscape of the universe, not that meaningful. We're just having fun. So it should not be stressful. We got enough stress in our personal lives. So that's one thing I've learned is like, if there's any stress, then we're doing too much. And there's no need to do too much. That's why we work for ourselves. It's so we don't have to do too much. So I've learned a lot of that, making a safe space, and just telling people like you don't have to hide how you feel. If you're having a rough day, come in with the rough day. If you need a mental health day, take it. You don't need to explain anything. Like, I don't need to know. The safety of your personal lives comes first. And they've taught me a lot. One of my assistants, her, her husband is a teacher, a public school teacher, and he's a part of a union, and they're both like union people. And so they're both looking at me like, when you have your next baby, you're taking like paternity leave, right? Like you're taking parental leave. They're kind of forcing me to. And I'm just really learning, I guess, that life isn't all work, and that work should be enjoyable, and it should be an accessory to life, not the other way around. And that's hopefully what I'm instilling and proving with the environment we have.
Yeah, I mean, from what it sounds like, you've built a great culture. That's fantastic. You talked a little bit about your family. How are you planning on taking that leave? Are they just going to lock the door, change the door locks, and make sure you don't show up?
Both. They will lock me out. I have a very ornery group of assistants. They will lock me out. But I will take it. So that's the other thing. My team is so awesome. So we have this subscription, right? And this is, I just want to tell a quick story about how fucking cool my team is.
Yes, please. I love this.
Yeah. My wife and I were traveling for a pop-up in Denver, and I have this rule that while I'm gone, if shit hits the fan, let it rain. Like, don't call me. There's nothing I can do when I'm in Denver. Like, I don't need the added stress. And if shit hits the fan, the world's not going to end. Like, if the mail isn't working, or if the label printer's not working, we'll handle it when I get back. Everyone will understand. So if it hits the fan, let it rain. And while I was gone, they tell me, they're like, oh, Tyler, we boxed up all this month's subscriptions like a month early. And I said, whoa, oh shit. And like, yeah. And I said, also, we went ahead and made all the flora and boxed it up for next month and then the month after. And I was like, whoa, so we're like 3 months ahead. And I was like, what the? And you know, as a small business owner, you're like 3 months ahead. And they're like, we'll keep going. And we're so ahead because of them that we're now just fucking around. Like, one of my teammates, she made me a glowing staff. Literally because we just had time, which turned into me making glowing wands. We like, take work off early to play D&D. As a token of appreciation, I bought all my employees, like, their own personal spa day and massage at this really awesome black-owned spa, Poppy's Spa and Lounge in Tulsa. And I was like, I don't even care if you don't fucking come into work. Go get a massage and go sit in a color pod. So we're having a blast. And they're great. And so, yes, January, late January, when our new baby is due, I'm out for a couple months. And same rules apply. If shit hits the fan, we're all grown-ups. You guys can figure it out. We're all smart people. Don't let me know if shit hits the fan.
I love that. Yeah, there's nothing. I had those same the first couple times, you know, because the first, roughly speaking, 1,000 plants we ever shipped, you know, I probably packaged 90% of them. And then, you know, the 150,000 plants later, however many thousands of plants we've shipped, I have had nothing to do with it for years and years and years. But there is that little, going back to the imposter syndrome thing, where like, you're like, well, damn, I should go on vacation more often. If this is how you left for a single day and all of a sudden no rules and they're 3 months ahead, I ought to take a weekend once a month then. I mean, what else can happen? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? If you take care of yourself, you learn to take care of other people. And I had a bad habit of making sure, wasn't necessarily bad, but of making sure my employees were very well taken care of. Like, even when Moonbeam started, like, I wasn't paying myself. I was paying my employees and making sure they were well, well compensated. Like, you're here. I don't want you going anywhere else. I want you to know that I value you. I was not taking a cut for like the first year. And I'm learning that, well, then you'll burn out in a different way. And so you got to take care of yourself so that you enjoy it, because, you know, Shane, take the vacation, because you worked your ass to get here. Take the vacation so that you still want to be in the seat that you're in, because your seat comes with a vacation, you know. And you know, we encourage our employees like to take care of themselves, take time off. I'm pretty sure if any of your employees were like, I really want, like, you would tell them, take the damn vacation. Anyone you know and love.
Oh no, 100%. And we make sure with PTO and, you know, PSL, and like you were saying, mental, you know, let us know you're not coming in if there was something like super crucial, which isn't for every single employee every day of the week, but like if there was something super deadline important, yeah, maybe give us the like, hey, so sorry,
yeah,
I can't make it. But other than that, yeah, don't that's not my business as an employer. And like, if you can't have the space to deal with things in your life like that, then what am I going to expect next Monday when you're that much more, you haven't had a chance to take a break. Mm-hmm. You're that much more burnt out. You're that much more. And I honestly, part of the reason I loved hearing you come back to the podcast game, which in a second, I'll make sure that people know where to go check that out, so you can plug all that. But like, what I loved about that was, I feel like I've not, because I'm not in therapy like you were, mainly because at one point in my life, like therapy, this is a super real talk, therapy was kind of used as a weapon in my life mm-hmm. for behavior modification. So there's always been some hesitance, you know, to that in the long term. But when you were just talking about like, you never used the phrase burnt out, I don't think, in the most recent podcast episode, but I was just like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. burnout. That's what that is. And I feel like I've gone through a lot of that, because once all of a sudden the team could be 3 months ahead, at, maybe not for you, but for me, it's like, well, then what is my job? If they're so capable of doing it all without me, what is my self-worth? What is all those other questions and those gremlins that start sneaking up in the back of your head and tell you you're not worth the office because you don't even do the hard work anyhow. You know, you don't even do half the hard work anyways. So,
go ahead.
No. It's been a challenge. And I think every, for not only just business owners, but just in life, what you faced last year, what you faced, you know, during the pandemic may not be the same thing you face the next 6 months. You may have something like a kid come mm-hmm. into your life and make you slow down, or some other loss of job or something else. There's always going to be something else with more demands on your life. So if you mm-hmm. can't learn from what you've been through, it's going to be challenging. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, on the topic of, like, yeah, what do you do? Like, once you get caught up and you're like, oh, it's easy. Like, you're like, oh, it's working. The great thing is that you did all the hard shit, so it became easy. It's just, you're learning. It's, for me, it's becoming good at anything else. I feel like anything else you pick up, any sport, any activity, even gardening, it hits a point where it's hard and you're like, fuck, I fucked this up. Oh my God, these plants died. Oh, I can't do this, and this. And you learn and learn and learn and stumble. And then one day you look at it and you're like, oh, I'm killing it in everything. Every single area in life, you're going to ask yourself, what do I do? If you raise your kids right and they grow up and move on and they have a sense of self and like a sense of agency, you will look at your life and go, well, now what do I do? And that's when you get creative. The way I look at it is, when you see that void and you're bored and you're kind of concerned and uneasy, boredom, unease, all of that, healthy unease, helps creativity. In that space, your new job is to say, okay, we got here. It's now easy. It is now a completely safe space to experiment. What the fuck does Shane want to do? What have you always wanted to do that you're like, hell, let's start this? Or what if we get into this? You know, it's time to start working out some new muscles, and you now have a safety net where if those muscles don't work, you're like, okay, tried it. And not everything crumbles.
No, 100%. And I feel that way even just in like, you know, in a greenhouse, you know, when you have your first pest problem, you're like, oh man, this is such a wreck. And then, you know, now, I mean, we have we have a team that like, oh, we found this pest and we modified the spray schedule. It's happening, you know, tomorrow at close of business. Mm-hmm. And we already know the answer and, you know, and it just becomes very, very automated, which is honestly a huge accomplishment to get to in life when you have life somewhat automated. And I'm inspired by you to continue to like pursue that creativity. I hadn't had a hobby for 4 years. I took up, so in case you haven't seen it, I took up like RC airplanes because,
whoa,
right? Like it was just, it's a totally old guy thing, by the way. It's
yeah, good for you.
Yeah, it's really funny to be at the official flying fields that they have near us, because it is everything you imagined a retirement community of grandpas talking about. Like, oh, well, yeah, Heather is gonna be gone, you know, next weekend, but you know, my son's coming over and we're gonna watch the NFL Sunday package, and you know, it's just everything you imagine about being retired. But yeah, the reason I picked it was, and I think maybe I'm wrong, you're the same way with hikes and stuff, is once you get off the beaten path, and for me, once I'm holding that controller in my hands, I can't pull out my phone if I wanted to. I'm going to crash a plane in the middle of the air if I do that. Like, so it requires that full removal from all the other stimulus, talk about social media and that kind of stuff. That doesn't matter for 30 minutes while the battery lasts, you know? You're just hands-on. What have you found most enjoyable about starting a family while being a business owner?
Oh, man. I get to be the sort of dad I have always needed and I have always dreamt of being. I write my own schedule, which means I can be home. Like right now, I woke up this morning and I was like, well, my team's already on it. I'll just be sitting around. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to clean the entire house and I'm going to have my son help me and teach him some things, you know, like I'm having these very wonderful moments about being able to wrap my own schedule because I can be home and I can help around the house because Molly and I are trying really, really, really hard to not demonstrate the typical roles, right? Like I'm not going to be the dad that's just gone and this, I get to see my son on the weekends at the ball game. And I get that this is a privilege. A lot of dads have to leave home. And my wife's not going to be the stay-at-home mom with her own, like, small business that she's doing, and she's doing all the laundry and all that. So we've had these wonderful moments where, like, Molly, like, Noah will be like, where's Dad do? And Molly be like, oh, he's folding laundry. And without batting an eye, he's like, okay. And we're realizing, like, we're normalizing contributing. So he'll come in and be like, Dad do, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. He'll fold all the little, like, we have him fold all the little towels, and he'll help with the dishes, or if I'm doing gardening, he'll come out and help. And that has been the biggest benefit, is like I can put my money where my mouth is, stay home, and show a young boy that like there's a healthier way to be a man. You know, like that has meant a lot to me, is like how do we rewrite this idea of being a man to not be such a despicable, hollow, vapid thing. Like it doesn't contribute anything. And so that's for me the biggest benefit, is I'm be the sort of dad I believe in, and I can demonstrate how men and boys actually contribute to a community and a household and a family unit. And it's working. We're having a great time, and I love the time I get to be home with my family.
That's fantastic. And like you said, you're also leading by example, like you were saying you do to your team members, of saying, hey, work is not coming home at 5 every day or just being home for the weekend. That's not everything there is in life. Income is not the only thing that brings joy to people. What are the plans? So I know we're almost out of time. I don't want to take too much of your time, but like, what are your plans for what's next? You're always talking about staying curious. Is there something maybe people aren't aware of yet that maybe you're still failing a little bit on? I mean, every day I go out there and I have a couple new plants, and you know, we talk a lot about on the podcast, like there's no greater joy than taking like one, and whether it's breeding it or chopping and propping it, like now I have 2, now I have 4. Mm-hmm. And that's still months and months before a customer ever knows it being an item on the website. Is there anything, you don't have to share if you don't want to, but is there anything, you know, going on that's piquing your new curiosity?
Hell yeah. So I'm having a new studio renovated right now, where I'll have a whole new lab. And there's a bunch of stuff on my lineup. I'm going to revisit the opalized insects and still carry on with my dream of making the world's first and only opalized insects and flowers. We have in my new studio, it's like 4,300 square feet. And we have 1,200 square feet in the back that has like a garage door that seals it off from all light. We're going to turn that 1,200 square feet into a permanent glowing garden where guests can come and sit in this glowing garden and meditate. They can forage their glowing plants. I'm trying to do some crazy Willy Wonka shit, and it's going to happen. So that's on my roster. I've gotten really into boxing, so I'm really trying to work on, like, for once in my life, I'm like, I want to get my, like, body and, like healthy. Like, I want to see what it's like when I'm very active, what my mind feels like when it's very active. I do really well mentally after exerting myself physically. So I'm trying to see, like, what happens if I really prioritize my health? What will my mind and my joints, because I'm starting to get dad joints, like, what will my body feel like if I'm, like, stay moving and take care of it? And that is a lot of failure. I'm, you know, it's not something I'm innately good at. And so I'm, like, learning from scratch. In terms of plants, I have some really fun hybrids I'm working on, some succulent hybrids that are very slow growing that I'm like, these won't be available to the public for like 10 years, probably.
I'm over here saying, oh, a year takes a long time. 10 years. Woo!
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have this one crassula that I've shared online. Crassula. Everyone wants me to call it Susan's pubes. Because it's a hybrid between Crassula pubescens and Crassula susanae. So everyone's like, call it Crassula Susan's pubes. So I'm like, I don't think I can register it that. So I think I'm going to call it Susan's pubens and see if they'll let that happen.
I love that.
But yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful plant. And I haven't propagated it yet. And it's about 3 years old. So slow growing. So there's stuff like that I can't wait to get out. And of course, a subscription. And I have a bunch of scientific plushies. I have like so many things going on right now.
I was going to say, there's no, like, I love your website. You know, it's a good place to support you when there's not one button for shop. And this is what the artist does. It's like, well, which category do you want the glow in the dark? This, do you want the crystallized? This, do you want just actual plants? Like, I've got it all and everything in between. But I think that's what's kept you curious and what's made you so successful in the last couple of years. How do people support you, support your team, support everything you have going on? Where do they check you out? Instagram, website?
Wow. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Tyler Thrasher Art. My website is tylerthrasher.com. I have a couple of Discords that are a lot of fun that you can find on my Instagram. I have a plant Discord where we talk about sport monstera and sport plants. I have a role-playing Discord called Alchemy Bug where we like role-play and collect rare transmuted bugs and pixel art. And then, you know, we have a subscription box where each month you get a glowing plant in the mail and you don't know what it will be. It's always a surprise. We do our best to give you a lot of diversity. It's great for collecting gifts to give to people or just to make your own arrangement. But it's $2 each month, and you'll get a mental health card, probably some candy. We like to throw in candy and a glowing plant. And that's kind of our bread and butter right now for my team is like our subscription. It pays for my team, pays them very well. It supports my family, covers our overhead. Everything else beyond that has been just more resources to grow the business and support my community. But the subscription box is a great passive way to support my art and see where that takes my ideas.
I cannot wait to do another one of these podcast episodes like in another 2 years, because I'm pretty sure you're going to be like, well, I sent my first plants to the moon. there's going to be something crazy that like no listener right now could even predict. Speaking of podcasts, man, where do they tune into that?
Yeah, you can find it anywhere. Greenhouse Rants is back up and running. You can find it on Spotify, Apple. I'm pretty sure anywhere. I use Buzzsprout.
Whatever, wherever you find your podcast, it's on there.
Wherever, just find it.
That's amazing. Well, Tyler, it is amazing to have you on today. You are such an inspiration to not just me, to many, many members of our team. I don't remember if you recall, several years ago, we bought the Propagate Goodness shirt for everyone who worked on the team at that time. And hell, I still see some people on the team wear it on occasion around the greenhouse. So you make a huge difference in people's lives. We sell your book too. We didn't even talk about that. We talked about that last time, but go check out the third ever episode. It's an awesome book too. Tyler, thank you so much for being on today's podcast,
Thank you,
and
Shane.
We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, Hell yeah.
Okay, so real talk, I just hung up with him after recording that podcast episode, and man, I cannot say how much I'm inspired by Tyler. And you guys definitely need to go check out all of his work. He's an amazing human, an amazing artist, and obviously a great boss to his team. You got to see so much, got to hear so much of his what's been going on in his life. It'd mean the world to me if you showed him some love and said, hey, heard you on the Every Plant Story podcast, and it was amazing. I can't say thanks enough to Tyler. It's just so cool. All right, well, we'll leave it on that. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Every Plant Story podcast. Go follow Tyler in all the links in the description, all that kind of stuff, and we'll see you guys next time.
If you have a question for Shane or the podcast crew, you can always email them to podcast@gabriellaplants.com for a chance for your question to be answered in an upcoming podcast episode. Send your questions to podcast@gabriellaplants.com. Looking for your next house plan on a budget? We have one of the widest selections available at GabriellaPlants.com, with hundreds of options grown just for you and ready to ship directly from our greenhouse to your house.